We're still taking a look back at 2016, though, the year that was, even though in a lot of ways it was a year to forget. It was also a year in which a lot of significant stuff happened, both nationally and locally, in terms of news, in terms of events, and in terms of sports as well. Big year, obviously, for UNC sports. Couple of national championships and a couple other near misses. Great year for professional sports as well, with Cleveland and Chicago winning championships after long droughts, the Olympics, and a whole lot more. And joining us now to break it all down is Dr. Deb Strohman, longtime sports commentator and professor at UNC's Kenan Flagler Business School. Deb, thanks for joining us, and Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you. Great, great year. 2016 was challenging for many people, but I know there are a lot of people who had a great 2016 or are looking forward to this year.
So what, sports-wise, what jumps out at you? I mean, obviously the big national news is Cleveland winning the NBA championship, LeBron finally getting that hometown championship that he's been coveting forever, and the Chicago Cubs winning the World Series for the first time in 108 years. Those are your top sports headlines nationally, but what jumps out at you?
Well, it was definitely a great year to get people engaged in sport. Every year you have this conversation as to whether or not sport is just too dominant in our society. Mm-hmm. And then, of course, we have incidents that gain worldwide attention where an athlete or a coach does something what I'll call boneheaded. And so people start painting the full brush across all sport activity and people participating in it. But there is no doubt, when you consider the improbables, as in the Cleveland Cavaliers from the NBA and the Chicago Cubs from MLB, that this year really engaged non-sport fans. Many, many compelling stories. When you think about the Cubs and the Cavs and how they galvanized their cities, you know, as you mentioned, after many, many years of not winning professional titles, that was engaging. And then also the Rio Games. We know we went into the games with a lot of criticism, as in whether or not Brazil was ready to even host, the many problems with the water. And then we ended up having a wonderful games. And, of course, it was highlighted by what happened in the swimming pool with Michael Phelps, Kate Ledecky, and Simone Manuel.
And obviously USA Gymnastics, Simone Biles leading the way there, and so many great USA gymnasts this year putting a performance out there on the floor that just so vastly exceeded all of the other great performances that we've seen from American gymnasts and gymnasts in general in the past. That's got to be a highlight, too.
Well, you can almost go down every sport where we broke records where yeah. It was very, very compelling. I really like to point out Simone Manuel being the first female African-American swimmer mm-hmm. to win an individual event at the Games. And in November, she actually was the first one to beat Kate Ledecky in a race above 100 meters. And many people say we should not put so much pressure on this young Stanford student. I think she's 20 years old, in the sense that during the Rio Games, there was all this pressure in the sense, you know, what type of legacy you're leading. Now you're going to help be a role model to get more young black girls and boys in the swimming pool. But more recently, she's pushing back against that, saying that's a big, big expectation. It's almost like it's too much to ask her to lead this this wave, pun intended. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just par for the course. That's what's going to happen whenever you have a particular person make a major, major statement or achievement, people are going to start looking at, well, you can be the first, and you can do this, and you can do that, even at the tender age of 20 years old.
Talking 2016 in sports with Dr. Deb Strohman, and I want to go back to the Cavaliers and the Cubs both winning their respective championships, because I think obviously the Cleveland's quest for a title in the NBA was the most of all of the teams in the NBA that were going after a championship. Cleveland, I think, had the best story. They had the longest drought, or one of the longest droughts. You had LeBron coming back, and that story culminates with a championship in 2016. Same with the Chicago Cubs in Major League Baseball. This is a team that had gone 108 years. They'd been so close a couple of times not that long ago, and they finally get over the hump and win the national championship this year. her, and that's just the greatest sports story, sports quest that we've seen in a long time. And also in baseball, you had the Red Sox not that long ago finishing their quest, and a couple of other teams that had gone a long time without winning and finally getting that championship that they desired for so long. What is the most compelling championship quest left now in Major League professional sports? My first thought is the Indians now in Major League Baseball, yeah. But is there another better one?
I think the Indians have it.
Yeah.
There was no doubt, I agree with you, that Cleveland, led by LeBron James, and to this day, I just don't understand how people cannot like him. He's just the perfect athlete, team player, going to, I think it's six NBA finals. But coming back from a 3-1 deficit, there is no doubt that he just truly epitomized great athleticism, great leadership, to pull that off. But the Cubs, yes, they won the title, but the Indians, they haven't won the World Series since 1948, and now they own the longest drought in baseball without a title. It's interesting you mentioned the Red Sox, because Theo Epstein, who is the general manager for the Cubs, prior, he was the general manager of the Boston Red Sox.
Yeah, you talk about a curse killer, right?
Yes. In 2004, he was the one who won the first World Series in 86 years for them. And so there's something magical about him and his leadership and how he's able to put together a team. Of course, coaching matters, but clearly he was the master puppeteer to put that together. Now, Cleveland was very, very close. They could have very easily have won the series. I think it was a 15-minute rain delay in
yes.
the 10th inning. But the Cubs did pull it out, and you really have to look at whether or not Cleveland can, whether it's the Indians or the Cleveland Browns, if they could ever turn around those sport programs.
What do you think is the number two quest behind the Cleveland Indians? What is the most compelling quest? Because off the top of my head, I can't. Maybe it's the Browns, but off the top of my head, I can't think of one.
Well, I'm from the Philadelphia area. So if you just want to go back to Philadelphia and how we continue to struggle with a sport title, considering where we're located, considering the rabid fans in Philadelphia. To give you an example of how bad it is, when Villanova won the championship, the city of Philadelphia adopted Villanova and put the championship parade in downtown Philadelphia, which really split the city in half.
Nice.
Philly is not the home of Villanova. Villanova is out in the suburbs, and many people felt Philadelphia doesn't even respect Villanova. But yet, because they're so hungry and so desperate for a title, they moved everything into the city of Philadelphia and treated them like it was a professional sport team winning everything.
That's fair. I guess it is the same parallel for the New England Patriots, which are out in Foxborough, about halfway between Boston and Providence, and they're not even named the Boston Patriots anymore. So for Boston to adopt them is kind of the same thing.
Well, the difference is that Villanova's a college team.
Right, right.
And so the Patriots is the pro, and they own the New England area. With Villanova, and there's so many colleges in the Philadelphia, greater Philadelphia area, for Philadelphia, the city, to just grab them and say, hey, you're our champion, that's where people question. A lot of desperation there.
The 76ers aren't winning anytime soon. Villanova, come in quick now.
All right, we've got to switch topics now. Start talking about
all right, all right. Speaking with Deb Stroman again, looking back at 2016 in sports. So let's look at off-the-field issues, because for all of the great, great stories on the field this year, Cleveland, Chicago, obviously UNC having a great year, the Olympics and everything else, a lot of really compelling stories off the field and off the court as well, including competing models of leadership at the NBA versus the NFL, and how Roger Goodell versus Adam Silver led their respective leagues. A lot of controversies and issues involving college athletics. Obviously, Colin Kaepernick leading the movement to kneel during the national anthem. More concern about CTE in college and pro football and going back down to the high school level and below. So talk about some of the bigger issues off the field this year, because I know that's one of the biggest concerns for you as well.
That's right. The NFL, Roger Goodell, he is the owner's commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And most of his statements, his actions, tend to lean towards the owners. The only questionable one is Deflategate, where we know the history of Kraft being the owner of the Patriots, Roger Goodell being very close. But that is the one exception where many people saw there was tension in their relationship. But other than that, he's brought minor changes to the game, a few major changes, but he's alienated owners, players, and fans alike. He is, as they say, the judge, jury, and the executioner for punishment. And more players now are being taking liberty to call out Roger Goodell when that's been unheard of. You would never call out the commissioner. But there are many, many players saying that there is an imbalance in the NFL. And when you talk about how the viewership with the NFL has gone down this year for many, many reasons, many people say it's partially because of this rift between the ownership or Roger Goodell and the players. For the NBA, Adam Silver, Duke graduate, he is a players commissioner.
Mm-hmm.
And as you mentioned, race relations are very important and front page in America, and the sport industry is no exception. And so for Adam Silver to be supportive of the player empowerment for race relations, everything from the Los Angeles Clippers owner Sterling and his unbelievable remarks to Trayvon Martin, Adam Silver has been front and center encouraging players, and in particular LeBron James and Carmelo Anthony, to be outspoken, to talk about how we are one humanity and one race, and how sport can take the lead in healing most of the tragic things that have happened in America.
What's the what are the big issues in college sports right now?
Wow, there are quite a few. Player safety, no doubt. We talk about concussions primarily with football, but we know there are many, many concussions in soccer, and people mm-hmm. are expressing more concern about that. Also, player protests, similar to the race relations activities in the NFL and the NBA. We've had our most recent example is Minnesota. For their bowl game, they had a number of players who said that they would not play, they would not participate. You can imagine the millions of dollars that were being discussed as to what the university and the Big Ten could lose. Eventually, the players played, but players are becoming more outspoken in their at the college level to protest, to say we will not participate. And then one thing that's been, it's under the radar. On the women's side, many people are talking about this, but it hasn't received enough national attention. It's a number of male coaches for women's sports. And the statistics are very, very scary now. Gino Auriemma pretty much owns college women's basketball.
Right.
He over 900 career wins. But when we think about the number of men who are now coaching women's basketball and other sports, this past Final Four, all of the head coaches for women's basketball, the Final Four, were men. But if people want to follow more on this, they can go to the Women's Sports Foundation, and the University of Minnesota does great work on this area. But many people are concerned whether or not there will be jobs for women after they finish their athletic career. Where are the jobs if men are just flocking to women's sports?
What do you think is causing that? Because I feel like just sort of in general, women's sports are at a place now that they were never in before in terms of prominence, in terms of number of people participating, in terms of support and press and publicity. But we seem to be moving in the wrong direction in that sense.
Well, it's about opportunity, and men want an opportunity. It's very difficult to break into men's basketball. But now with Title IX and the increase of girl and women's participation in sport, and then the dollars that have been attached to, especially women's basketball, men are seeing this is another pathway to men's basketball. For example, you can go develop, win, and then possibly transition over. I know Virginia Tech women's basketball did that. There was an outcry because he actually did not coach when he did not. He was coaching on the men's side, and then when the women's position opened up, he got the job, which alarmed a number of people. But if you need more experience, there are definitely opportunities with women's sports, and men Some of them, for all the right reasons, are participating in women's sports as coaches. Some, it's more on a selfish basis and an economic reason. And that's what needs to be further examined. And we need to look at what we are doing in an intentional way, being strategic, that our young girls are able to look and see role models so that when they want to participate as a coach, that there will be opportunities available.
Speaking with Dr. Deb Stroman again, UNC Keenan Flagler Business School. And before we let you go, we've been looking back at 2016. Let's look ahead at 2017. I know it's hard to predict in advance, but when we're talking in a year and looking back on the biggest stories of 2017, what do you think those stories are going to be or will have been, I guess?
Well, with the increase in technology, digital advancements, there's no doubt that player safety is going to continue to be a concern. But on that same matter, I would also say we're going to see more solutions. I'm just so excited about the number of new technological advances using analytics to help make player performance better. Athletes are stronger, faster, bigger, stronger, and we have the data now to look at any potential safety issues. So I love the technological advances. We're seeing more of that. I'd also say that in terms of the coaching is being scrutinized more than ever. Now, if you're a coach, you might feel, well, I'm not going to get a chance. It's, you know, I need 3, 4, or 5 years to build a program, where now we're seeing coaches are being fired after 2 or 3 years. But because we have these advances in technology, now we can actually have the data and look at what coaches are doing. Everything from some of the unfortunate incidents this past year where we had coaches abusing players. Mm-hmm. Well, now we have video cameras, we have social media, we've had situations with sexual assault. We've just got so much in terms of people being able to find their voice, whether that's using social media or, you know, whatever they do. But now we're seeing more courage and we're getting more attention in these areas.
And then finally, before we let you go, what should be the New Year's resolution for the sports world in 2017? What should we be seeking to do?
Well, many people feel that sport, it's all about bringing people together and bringing people who might have differences, whether that's religion, whether that's race, whether that's sexuality, whether it's political. You can sit down with some friends or strangers and have just a rally around the sporting event, whether you're on cheering for opposing teams or whether you're on the same team. And I would hope that that expression of what I do consider love that sport brings to society, that we would continue to make that better and enrich it more. My concern would be from an economic perspective that we don't price the low to middle income people out of these wonderful competitions. Many people say that professional sports, especially basketball, is for suits, as in it's for corporate people. But I would love to see that people of all ages and all economic backgrounds would be able to participate as a fan in many of these sporting activities.
Dr. Deb Stroman, Keenan Flagler Business School, thank you so much for joining us today. Happy New Year, and look forward to spending 2017 with you.
Thank you, and Happy New Year to everyone.